In the middle of its move to Kentucky, the Ron Flatter Racing Pod originates from Tulsa, Oklahoma. There is discussion of horse racing issues and tips for Kentucky Derby travel from two men who know Louisville very well, Horse Racing Radio Network's Dan Mason and Horse Racing Nation CEO Mark Midland. Santa Anita General Manager Nate Newby talks about what he has learned from a troublesome time the last 2 years, and trainer Brad Cox makes a cameo appearance to discuss Monomoy Girl, that name, in this weekend's Apple Blossom Handicap. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod is available for download Friday at vsin.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts, and is sponsored by First Bet. Welcome back to the program. Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum. Josh, naming horses these days gets very, very interesting, right? I mean, it's crazy.
You did a great job. Pritch, that was a tough one. Applebaum, was this named after me or what's going on here? Apple Blossom, that was a good one.
Yeah, this weekend's Apple Blossom. But Monomoy Girl is the name of the horse. Happy to bring on to the program. This guy is extraordinary. He's Cecil Lammy. He's a host out there at DenverFan.com, digital content, but also you can hear him on 104.3TheFan.com as well. Senior writer at FootballGuys.com, fantasy football guru and draft analyst. Cecil Lammy, welcome to the program. How are you?
It's always good talking football with you, Pritch, and it's fun this time of year. The draft, everything's getting crazy, and we're about 2 weeks away.
Well, speaking of crazy, what are the Broncos up to at 9? Are they going to stay there? Are they going to try to trade up? What are you hearing about the Broncos in this coming draft in a couple of weeks?
The latest and the strongest buzz is the Broncos are going to move up in this draft, and that means number 4 overall with the Atlanta Falcons. I would not be surprised at all if the Broncos make that sort of move, and you do that move, as we all know, for a quarterback, you know, similar to what the 49ers did in moving up to 3, although I did learn today from league sources that the Jets turned down the 49ers' first-round pick earlier this offseason for Sam Darnold, and they said, nah, we'll stay put for now, and of course then moved him on to Carolina. So I think the Broncos are going to move up. They're going to target a quarterback that could be Justin Fields, as I believe the number 3 pick is going to be Trey Lance from North Dakota State. So Denver has done a lot to strengthen their defense, to strengthen the cornerback position, specifically in free agency. That quarterback is still the largest hole on this team, one that they feel they can fill within this draft if the right guy, you know, falls within their range, and that range is number 4. So picking at number 9, if I were, you know, to think about it today and say, are they going to pick at 9, are they going to move up, or are they going to move back? The strongest buzz, the most recent buzz, is they will move up in this draft.
Cecil, this is Josh Applebaum. It's great to meet you for the first time here. And I just kind of want to ask, you know, your thoughts, because, you know, we're polling everyone here because, you know, kind of when we're betting on the NFL draft, which has become a massive event, a huge betting handle. You know, when I was, you know, I'm 33. When I was getting in on it at the beginning, it was like a niche thing that no one really bet on. Now it's this huge thing that sportsbooks offer a ton of different props on. So, you know, if you look at the odds, it's really a shoo-in. Lawrence 1, Zach Wilson 2. And as you mentioned, Trey Lance number 3, that's where it gets interesting. So we saw Mac Jones become the favorite. He was around minus 300. He's dipped a little bit. You're seeing Fields bump up. You're seeing Lance bump up. So, you know, if we think the draft starts at 3, you mentioned Trey Lance, but maybe explain why you think Lance is the guy. And if it isn't, what other quarterback intrigues you, number 3? And what does Shanahan do here?
Yeah, and I think Kyle Shanahan tries to find his guy that is athletic and mobile, and we know Trey Lance is that. Trey Lance is basically like a smaller version of Cam Newton. He's also a guy that compares favorably to a Josh Allen, and if you think of what that skill set would be like in a Kyle Shanahan system, it's almost perfect. And, you know, they don't shy away from small school guys. Hell, Jimmy Garoppolo is from Eastern Illinois, just like Mike Shanahan was back in the day. So, you know, you look at North Dakota State, I don't think that bothers them whatsoever. His accuracy, his high football intelligence, all makes Trey Lance a very intriguing prospect. Justin Fields as well, although I don't believe it's going to be Fields at 3. Fields to me reminds me of Dak Prescott when he came out of Mississippi State, except he's more polished. Prescott was pretty raw when he came out from the Bulldogs because he was under pressure all the time in college. I look at Fields, I see an intelligent player, obviously mobile, can go through his progressions. He's been miscast by some people who don't pay attention to the film. Like, oh, he's only go to his first read. No, he goes off his first read more than any quarterback in this draft class. So I think Fields would be interesting. And then there's Mac Jones. I was down at the Senior Bowl earlier this year, and I've been going to the Senior Bowl every year since 2007. Got to watch Mac Jones during the week of practice. Very impressive. Obviously short to intermediate. I think if you're the Saints, if you're the Patriots, that's kind of the perfect offense for a guy like Mac Jones. And not to say that he couldn't fit with Kyle Shanahan, because Kyle Shanahan can make pretty much anything work like he did with Matt Ryan. It took a year for Matt Ryan to get it, but when he did, it was MVP level performance. So with Mac Jones, it's more interesting because he's less mobile than the other guys, more of that traditional pocket passer, but obviously very bright and very accurate in those short to intermediate throws.
Speaking with Cecil Lammy, he's a senior writer at footballguys.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Cecil Lammy as well. Cecil, I might be a little nuts here, but hear me out, because there's a bet 50-1 for Pitts to be the third pick overall. And you know the Shanahan family very, very well. And so the notion that, okay, Darnold, that trade didn't go down. They traded up. Appearances, it seems like they are hell-bent on getting a quarterback at three. But yet, I think the dynamic changes, and maybe their Super Bowl chances change if they could land Pitts at number three.
Yeah, and Pitts is the type of guy, when you talk to a player like J.C. Horn, like, he's not a tight end. In fact, he reminds me so much of Darren Waller, who wasn't a tight end either at Georgia Tech. He was a supersized wide receiver. So the Pitts thing is interesting. Usually when we get to April, unless it's something that I've been digging on for a while, when you hear it and it's new in April, I consider April kind of the season of lies. And so, you know, it's interesting to consider that, obviously, with George Kittle there as well. And you can have more than one tight end. That's not any sort of thing that would make them shy away from that. But I think you give up that much capital. Obviously, the information that I just broke right before coming on this show about them, you know, being interested in you know, giving up their first round pick for Sam Darnold, which did not go through because the Jets are going to be the Jets. So the Pitts thing is very intriguing to me. And he could honestly go number four. Let's talk about that, right? Yeah. Because you look at Arthur Smith and what he was able to do with Tennessee. And they have a nice collection of tight ends, at least they did with Delanie Walker there and Jonnu Smith. But you look at now getting Pitts to go with a Julio Jones, that would be fantastic for Ryan and whoever else they're going to try to groom at quarterback behind him. So Pitts is going to go off the board, potentially higher than any tight end we've seen in NFL history, for good reason. He can come in and make that instant impact. Three, I wouldn't mock him to three, in my opinion, but four, if Atlanta does stay at four, I think that's a really good and smart destination.
Cecil, I wanted to kind of change gears from the offensive side of the ball to the defensive side of the ball when it comes to the NFL draft, because, you know, I think you look at mocks and all the buzzes, all these quarterbacks that could go off the board. You know, obviously we have some tackles, we have a bunch of stud wide receivers, but really no one talks about defense. And I think if you're betting on the draft, this provides some value here. So I want to get your take on the first defensive player selected. Right now, Patrick Surtain, corner from Alabama, is the favorite, but he's only a slight favorite. He's minus 120. The runner up here is Micah Parsons, linebacker, stud from Penn State. He sat out last year, but he's now around plus 225, depending on where you're looking. These odds can differ, but basically it's either Parsons or Surtain, depending on the book. Do you have a take on this one? Number one, what do you think will happen, and who would you take as the first defensive player?
Yeah, and the first defensive player could be number nine. Let's say the Broncos do stay put at nine. They're not able to move up to four. That's going to be the first defensive player. I think the first eight picks in this draft are all offense. Three or four of those are going to be quarterback. Hell, maybe even five when we look at the situation of throwing Penny Sewell, throwing Kyle Pitts, throwing Rashawn Slater there as well. Now you're getting to nine. You're getting to 10 before that first defender is taken. And let's say if it is the Denver Broncos, cornerback is still a need. Yeah, I know they get Kyle Fuller in free agency, but it's a one-year deal. Bryce Callahan was one more year left on his deal. Ronald Darby's number two corner. So Patrick Surtain would be a guy to identify. Now, talent-wise, how does he compare to, let's say, a Caleb Farley? They're pretty close. It's basically kind of just picking through, you know, different scenarios. You're nitpicking when you say Surtain or Farley in terms of talent. Then you go to the back injury with Farley, who had to, you know, have that rehab on his back. Okay, that's probably going to drop his draft stock a little bit. Surtain is that guy that's rock solid as a tackler, high football intelligence player. Then we get to Micah Parsons. Now, people will say, oh, he's got some off-field concerns, maturity concerns from Penn State. I've reached out to general managers and executives that say that that's overblown and it's not going to affect his draft stock much, if at all. So could he be that first one? To me, if it's 9 to the Broncos, and again, around that 9-10 range, I know the Cowboys really like Surtain. So if the Broncos do pass on him, then Surtain at 10 makes a lot of sense. Parsons has the ability to be an inside linebacker and also a pass rusher, and also the ability to cover. Even though on film you say there's sometimes it looks like he's lost, he's got the athleticism and the high football intelligence to adjust to that in the pro level. So for me, I go Surtain as that number one defender. Parsons probably not going to fall that much from the maturity issues or character concerns that some teams may have. We're talking about, you know, what, falling to 12, you know, falling to 15. It's not going to fall that far. And it's going to be all offense. Top 10 of this draft, mostly all offense. Your first defensive player, 9-10, somewhere in there, it's probably going to be Patrick Surtain.
Speaking with Cecil Lammy, you can follow him on Twitter, at Cecil Lammy. Cecil, how do you have the wide receivers ranked? And then how many wide receivers are you anticipating being drafted in the first round this year?
Right. Well, and you want to talk about splitting hairs at the wide receiver position. For me, it doesn't get any better than Ja'Marr Chase from LSU. The type of circus catches that he can do, the fact that he toys with defenders, the fact that he does what you love, Pritch. He's got late hands, right? And that ball's coming in. He's not going to tip it off. He's going to put him out there at the last second, gathering those passes. And you saw what he did with Joe Burrow. Is he going to go to the Bengals? I think the Bengals should take Penny Sewell. You got to protect that asset in Joe Burrow. But to me, Ja'Marr Chase, Jalen Waddle is better than Devontae Smith. Now, not much, again, splitting hairs with these three players that could all be top 10 talents. They won't go in the top 10 because of this quarterback desperation that this league is. But you look at those Alabama guys, Waddle, again, with that concentration, with the ability to work the sidelines, comes back to the ball, does all the natural things you want from a wide receiver that make him a standout player. Smith is DeSean Jackson, basically, with an insane nose for the end zone. We have like 40 touchdowns in his career at Alabama, just absolutely insane. So he's, you know, his size, his slenderness, they call him the Slim Reaper, which I think is funny, is a little bit of a concern because you wonder how he handles press. I know who presses in today's NFL, Pritch, but like, okay, you know, how is he going to handle a more physical approach in the NFL? Devontae Smith with that speed, if you do not get your hands on him, he is gone and big plays abound. Then, I mean, we're talking about Rondell Moore from Purdue, could be a late first round pick. He's got some injury concerns, 20 games over the last couple of years. That's a concern, but he's definitely a big play weapon. I saw Kadarius Toney down at the Senior Bowl. Some people consider him a first round pick, the kid from Florida, but I just didn't see it. I'm thinking more early second rounder. Terrace Marshall Jr. and Rashad Bateman are two other first round picks at the wide receiver position. And we all thought last year was the greatest wide receiver class in NFL history. This might push them for that designation if we have 5-6 wide receivers go in the first round.
Cecil, I just wanted to give you the floor and just ask you and kind of let you run with it. Who are some players in the NFL draft that no one's talking about, no one's making any bones about, but you're really high on? Guys that maybe aren't getting, aren't high in mocks or people are disregarding, but you really like their game. You think it could translate to the NFL, whether it's offense, defense, just anyone that you have on your radar that no one else is talking about.
Yeah, and I'll give you a couple, and it seems like I'm contractually obligated to talk about Khalil Herbert. I'm not, but I should be, because the kid from Virginia Tech, Kansas transfer, everyone talks about Puka Williams, and he's fine. He's, you know, a big play, a little Darren Sproles type of back, but Khalil Herbert can do everything. There are some in the scouting community that say his skill set is reminiscent of Dalvin Cook. Now, that's high praise. Cook, a second-round pick, should have been a first-round pick. We all know that. Herbert's probably going to be a mid-round pick. Let's say third round, maybe fourth round, but I doubt it because those in the know really respect his game. He's natural, instinctive, patient as a runner, and has that big playability to turn. You know, you block it for 3, this guy's going to get you 7. You block it for 7, this guy's going to get you 20. That's the type of back that Khalil Herbert is, so I think that's something to monitor there. He's one of my favorites in this draft class. And speaking of favorites in the draft class, Elijah Molden, cornerback from Washington. He's a player that has length, that has strength, and that has ferocity. You know, and as I make all-star tour every year, and I go to the Senior Bowl, the Shrine Bowl. Shrine Bowl didn't happen this year due to COVID. But I'm always looking for these players that, you know, maybe teams or people in the media are overlooking because they're not the biggest or not the fastest. To me, give me football savvy, give me football intelligence, give me strength and willingness. That's what Elijah Molden has. He's a guy that I think could be another one of those third round picks, corner with great upside in this draft class. And I've got a ton of favorites, so I could take up all your time, but those are two I seem to talk about the most. Khalil Herbert, Elijah Molden, two sleepers to keep an eye on in this draft class.
I tell you what, he's one of the best. It's Cecil Lammy. He's hosting a show out there, 104.3 The Fan. You can find his work on DenverFan.com as well as senior writer of FootballGuys.com. He's a fantasy football guru and, of course, one of the best draft NFL draft analysts out there. Cecil, thanks so much for your time. We'll have to do this again before the draft.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. There he goes, Cecil Lammy. Follow him on Twitter at Cecil Lammy as well. Any information right there, Josh, that intrigues you a little bit here?
Oh, great info. So number one, I'm intrigued by Trey Lance. I've heard, he's going to be really high. Then he's drifted. Now maybe an opportunity at three. What's the take on Trey Lance? That's what really intrigues me here, Bridge. But fantastic guest. And I wish I could add, I wish we had more time to ask more questions. That was great.
Yeah, we have a couple more weeks until the draft, so maybe we can get him back on. I didn't throw out the John Embry angle. I wonder what he would have reacted to right there. Coming up next, though, I'm excited about this hockey segment. I got nuts. I turned into an animal with my hockey plays because of Josh Applebaum. That's coming up next. Life is a marathon, not a sprint, unless you're hiring. Fortunately, Indeed has great tools that help speed up the hiring process. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum. Josh, I never thought I'd do this, but I actually had a... we broke down three games on the show yesterday from hockey, the NHL. And I'm like, okay, I like the plays. There was a couple of them. So you know what? I'm just going to parlay a couple plays that you highlighted. So I had the Capitals and the Panthers on a two-team parlay play right there, and I got some interesting odds, to say the least, and that one cashed for me. So I don't know if that was getting too crazy or not, but it worked.
Great job, my man. And hey, you could have even pushed it a little further with the New York Rangers, another game that we talked about there, Pitch. You could have added to it. But you know me, this is a sensitive subject for me because I'm a very anti-parlay guy. Mm-hmm. I'm really happy that you cashed, and that was a great job by you. But again, I guess you could make a case. The reason why maybe parlaying these big favorites in the NHL has a little bit of value is just the fact that, when you're betting to risk, not bet to win, right, that's very important because, you don't want to lay, and I'll give you a perfect example. The Detroit Red Wings played, Carolina, mm-hmm. and they lost, and they beat Carolina twice in a row, and Carolina was like a minus 300 favorite. So you do have these upsets now and again, but if you like favorites, I'll make an exception for your Pritch just because I like you, but with these spots here, you can basically parlay them together to cut down on what you're going to risk here to get a better number. So I'm an individual flatback guy. Yeah. Pritch, nice job, my man. We got a couple more today. Let's see if we can do it.
Okay. So I don't know if I'm so confident anymore. If you just tore me up right there. I was betting to win, not because of risk or anything like that. Clearly I wanted to win and I thought I had a good shot right there, but yeah, it cashed. So I'm fortunate. How about that?
Pritch, by the way,
yeah,
this is the great equalizer. I got nothing to say because you won. That's the beauty of it. If you win, it's scoreboard. You can silence the doubters there. But seriously, great job. You've been killing it in the NHL.
Okay, let's get to some of these games on the schedule here. Some plays that you can highlight for us, too. I'm looking forward to these. What do you have?
Yeah, so one game earlier today, I did get down on Minnesota Wild. This matched a system for me. They're up 5-2 here, so knock on wood, may come through if you took the Wild earlier. But these big line moves in the NHL, when we talk baseball, I lean on a lot of dogs because you do have more upset opportunities in baseball. Hockey, it's a chalkier sport. That's mm-hmm. why I think they're There can be value if you kind of grind these systems here. So the Wild looks like they're going to close it. It may actually be over right now, 5-2. But they're like -180 up to almost, -210 here. Big steam on that home favorite. So I think if you're looking at a couple games tonight, the first one I look at, Pritch, and I'll make a case. Let's see if you're interested. Winnipeg Jets. The Jets are at Ottawa. To me, this is a decent line move to the Jets. You look at Winnipeg, they open around -170. They're up to around -180, -175, -180. This line is rising in their favor. Well, like about this one, Pritch, it's a bit of a revenge game. You know, these teams played a couple days ago and Winnipeg actually won. They were a big +165 dog. Or sorry, Ottawa won. They were a 4-2 winner there as a dog. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have this revenge angle, but this would match a lot of systems for me. You look at favorites with a line move of 10 cents or more, which just cashed with the Wild this afternoon. But those spots there, 107 and 59, 64%. You also look at these favorites, -150 or more with a high total, 6 or more. The high total, more likely these goals are going to come from quote unquote the better team. Those spots are 92 and 40, 70%. You also have a favorite off a loss. That's kind of a classic bounce back spot, 64% here. So a lot of matches here with Winnipeg. I'd be looking at Lena with the Jets against the Senators, who are starting Matt Murray in goal. And Murray's got like a 3.84 goals against. He's a guy that's given up a lot of goals. I don't want to give any bulletin board material here, Pritch, but hopefully we get a few behind him because I'm sweating the Jets here in this one.
All right. And then you have VGK, Golden Knights out here from Vegas. They're on the road against LA. The total 5.5. And we're looking at +180 for LA.
Yeah, I'd be looking at laying it here with VGK once again. I know it's a big number here, Pritch, but you have VGK playing with some house money. They've won 3 straight. They made a move at the deadline. Our colleague Stormy, who does the play-by-play and a lot of work there for the Golden Knights, mm-hmm. I know she's excited about that move, getting Matthias Janmark. But the Kings lost 2 out of 3. Kings have been struggling here a bit. And I do have a lot of line movement toward the Vegas Golden Knights. You know, they opened. A bunch of these shops were around -190. They've been steamed up to -210. And you also look at these spots here, road favorites of the line move, 62% this year. You also look at a favorite versus a tired team. The Kings have played more games in the last 5 days than the Knights have. In this spot here, which would favor the rest advantage with the Knights, this spot 140 and 70 so far this year, 67%. And that rested road favorite, at least 2 days off, is 141 and 89, 61%. Okay. So got some system matches. And I got it after the show, Pritch. What you got to do, you're going to run down to Circa at Stadium Swim. You're going to get us a cabana, me, you, and Steph. And we're going to sweat the Knights tonight.
Hey, we can do that. Absolutely. I look forward to that. Come up next on the program, we return to Major League Baseball. We'll update you with scores, break down some more games. That's come up next. Sports betting action this spring is just getting started, and our VSiN experts are covering early season baseball trends, NHL and NBA playoff races. Plus, we're looking at all the key picks and predictions for the NFL draft. We give you all the tools to cash more tickets, including our 24/7 video coverage. Complete odds and analysis of every game on VSiN.com. Our daily members-only best bet emails and in-depth coverage of every sport and point spread weekly. The weather and the betting action is heating up, and now is the time to start your VSiN 10-day free trial at vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the show, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard out here in Las Vegas. Josh Applebaum, your other host, is out there in Boston. Updating some scores, Josh, in Major League Baseball. The Red Sox are still winning 3-2. They got 10 hits already. I mean, 10 hits through this game. I mean, are they going to have anything left for game number two when they take on the Twins?
I hope so, Pritch. They're actually threatening right now. If you're watching this game, they got two men on second and third with, I'm not sure who's up now, Hunter Renfro. But add some insurance here. You can never get enough insurance here, Pritch. But you did see another dog that won earlier today, the Toronto Blue Jays.
Right.
And this is the importance of what we talked about, action versus listed pitcher. So if you had liked the Yankees had some movement to them earlier. Toronto was supposed to start one pitcher, got scratched. I forgot his name, Ross Stripling. And then they put in this other guy, TJ Zook. So this is why I talk about the importance of action versus listed pitcher, because it can really save you from a loss. Like, let's say if you bet the Yankees early this morning. You like the matchup. They had a line move in their favor early, but then there's this pitcher scratch for Toronto. So what happens? They take the line down. Oddsmakers reset it. It opened up way bigger to the Yankees, like minus 140. And you say, wow, I lost my bet on the Yankees because they lost the game. But no, if you bet that listed pitcher, your bet was voided once the Blue Jays scratched their starter there. So that's really important. That's another divisional dog that came through here. Fingers crossed. I'm hoping my Sox come in for this game one here, Pritch. But these are just the little things to me when you're betting baseball. It's such a long season, but if you can get some of these foundational things down out of the way and then they just become natural to you when you're betting baseball every single day, I think it's going to help you down the road as you just grind throughout the season.
That's really great information, Josh. That's outstanding right there. Let's get back to some basketball because there's some games you want to highlight again here. We have the Wizards and the Kings, I believe, that you might have a lean or a pick for.
Yeah, so what I've been doing with some success here recently is I like these really short road favorites that become more of a favorite, and I like to moneyline them. Okay. You know, they've been coming through pretty nicely here. They cashed with the Sixers a couple days ago. They cashed yesterday with the Clippers, and you're in the same spot here with the Washington Wizards. I know they're, you know, the Wizards are 20-33. You're not laying points on the road with a, you know, really bad sub-500 team, but I think this matchup against the Kings favors them a little bit. You know, what you saw here, a lot of these books open Wizards -1.5. This line got bet up to 2.5 even. There's a little buyback at 2.5, came back down to 2. But this would match a system for me, again, these short road favorites with the line move. If you look at what I'm talking about, these short road favorites with the line move, they got to be favored by 5 or less. But if the line moves in their favor, especially on the road, they're 70-50 this year, ATS 58%. So I would match with the Wizards. Another kind of sneaky thing here is, you know, the Sacramento Kings, they've lost a lot of games in a row, Pritch. Yeah. This is a team that I don't know if they're giving up. I don't know if they're, now in unofficial tank mode here. But they're going to miss. They're a young team again. You know, when losing, and Pritch, you know this, if you've ever been a young player on a bad team, once that losing starts, it kind of snowballs here. So they're going to miss Rashawn Holmes. He's doubtful with a hamstring injury. And Buddy Hield is questionable. He may not play. So I like a money line play with the Wizards here. Just win the game. The Wizards have been actually playing better. They've won 3 of 4 against a Kings team that's really, really struggled. So I'll go money line -135. Just win the game. Let's go Bradley Beal tonight.
You know, true story, as a rookie, I once had a teammate tell me, because I was ranting and raving on the sideline because we were getting destroyed. We were playing a Washington football team. We were getting destroyed. And I'm coming off the national championship, right? MVP, and I'm ranting and raving on the sideline. I had a teammate turn to me and told me to shut up. We get paid tomorrow. So maybe the Kings are thinking, hey, they get paid every week at this point.
Rich, that is a great story. That is just amazing there. No, you're totally right. You're going to get your paycheck no matter what here. Right. And again, a lot of these guys making, you know, $20 million a year. Who cares if you lose, if you're bringing home that bread, my man. But that is a great story. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Absolutely. I didn't give names. Not yet. But Dallas and Memphis, Josh, another maybe short spread when you consider the matchup. Dallas -3.5, 225.5 is the total.
Yeah, so if you like the breakdown in the situation that the Wizards are in, the Mavericks are in the same exact spot. So either you probably like neither or you like both. To me, I like both. I moneyline both. What I like here for the Mavs is the same system, you know, short favorite, becoming more of a favorite with that 58% ATS record this year. But you've seen a lot of steam hit the Mavericks. A lot of these books open, you know, Mavs are -1.5. They got bet up all the way to 3.5. Now, some shops are down to 3, so this thing is coming back a little bit. And I'd wait it out. Maybe it drops to, I don't know if it gets to 2.5, but I would look for kind of I would aim around -150 if you want to moneyline the Mavs here. But not only do you have that system match, that short road favorite, that cash with the Clips here and matches with the Wizards and the Mavs, we also look at the Mavericks. I just like this buy low opportunity, Pritch. The Mavs have lost 2 straight and they've lost 3 of 4. Grizzlies are coming off a win against Chicago and they're 3-2, their last 5. Yet this opened as a short favorite Mavericks and the public says, give me John Morant getting points against a Mavericks team that's struggling. Yet this line has moved toward Dallas. So that kind of tells me, and again, if you like the Orioles or, you know, bad spots, why is Harvey favored? Why are the Mavericks favored if they've struggled here and Grizzlies are at home getting points? So I'm going to back the Mavs here, take them on a money line play. And it looks like Porzingis is in. They did get JJ Redick finally to start to start playing a little bit here. So give me the Mavs on the money line, Pritch. What do you think of that one with Doncic?
I like it. I haven't played basketball in a while, but the money line play makes sense here. Absolutely. -160 out here in Vegas. Again, the spread -3.5. Updating everybody on some scores in baseball. We got Washington still up on St. Louis 6-0. I think the Red Sox are producing some runs here. Am I correct in saying that, Josh?
So it's 3-2. They didn't get anyone in
okay,
here.
They didn't.
We're going to the bottom of the seventh.
Okay,
man. Yep.
Bottom of the seventh there. And then the Brewers have taken the Cubs behind the woodshed. I mean, they're up 7-0 right now. The Cubs cannot hit anything. Can't throw either when you look at some of the highlights from the Cubs at this point.
They are. The Cubs are in a bad spot. And actually, this one, there was another big steam move toward the Brewers here earlier. This was -160 up to like -175. And you look at the Brewers lineup, it's guys, you know, they don't even have Yelich in there.
Yeah.
Yet big movement. Again, this goes into the under the file of makes no sense, but there's got to be something behind it. You're holding the Brewers ticket. You're feeling good right now.
All right. We're going to get back to some more leans and picks with the final segment of today's program with Josh Applebaum. That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. When you think about these scores in baseball, it gets crazier and crazier. That's coming up next. Bet basketball, baseball, or hockey with a risk-free first bet up to $600 at BetMGM. Simply sign up and use bonus code VSIN600, and you're on your way to betting with the king of sportsbooks. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use promo code VSIN600 to make a risk-free first bet up to $600. It's a new customer offer, paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old, Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. If you feel you have a problem, it's 800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 800-BETS-OFF in Iowa and Tennessee. Call or text the red line 800-889-9789. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you. Still 3-2 in the Boston baseball game, still 7-0, Milwaukee and Chicago. A little bit of news, Josh. Julia Morales off of Twitter, Astros placed the following players on the injured list. Alvarez, Altuve, Bregman, Garcia, and Maldonado. I mean, my goodness. All of these guys going on the injured list. So, I mean, we can kind of deduce here, is this COVID or, I mean, all these guys, I mean, can they be hurt all at once?
Yeah, I tell you what, Pritch, during the break, you know, I saw this line absolutely tank toward the Detroit Tigers. And the funny thing here is that the Tigers have been coming up huge if you've been riding them in this series. The Tigers have taken the first two of three here against the Astros. They won the first game 6-2. They won last night 8-2. They're +220 in the first one, +170 in the second one. And I was actually going to – I was saving this as my gross play. So your thunder was stolen earlier with your pits. Now my thunder's stolen here with this possible COVID news here. But I was looking at Detroit because this was lining up as a gambler's fallacy play where, you know, you'll see this all the time. A really bad team takes the first two of a three-game series against a good team, and everyone and their mother hammers that good team, the Astros, saying they can't possibly get swept. They're so much better than the Tigers. So this would be kind of just on principle an opportunity to take the Tigers here. But you're seeing a huge move. You know, my first inclination was, you know, Lance McCullers, scheduled starting pitcher here. I was like, oh, he must be scratched because I saw this line tanking. Mm-hmm. But no, as you mentioned, a lot of key players here. It looks like COVID protocol is being performed here on these players. But as you mentioned, Bregman, star third baseman, Altuve, Yordan Alvarez, Maldonado, Colorado. All these guys are now on the IL, so we're going to have to see. They're probably going to be out for a few days at this point until they clear again. But you've seen this line tank. I mean, Houston open minus 230. Then all these guys announced as we're doing the show, you know, a few minutes ago, are going to be out here. We now see the Astros minus 230 down to, we're showing minus 185. Mm-hmm. As we speak, this thing is getting down to minus 170. So, you know, if you like the Tigers, number one, you know, this wouldn't be a listed pitcher. You know, it's not like your bet's canceled because these guys are out. So if you got lucky and you said, I'm taking Detroit on principle tonight just because they can't possibly win, but there's good value. If you jumped on Detroit early, like plus 200, you're now down to plus 160, plus 150. This thing is tanking as we speak. So this just goes to show you, you know, we're the vaccines are coming out there. We're getting closer back to normal, Pritch, but these things, you know, we're still dealing with them. Mm-hmm. You know, in the NBA, we got to worry about injuries. You know, this is kind of the big first one in baseball here. But if you like Detroit, you're losing value here, but you're still getting good plus money. You think they can take down, you know, the Astros, Carlos Correa, and basically their AAA team tonight?
Pretty much. I mean, I'm telling you, it's hard. We kind of speculate here, but from a betting perspective, it's like, okay, all these guys, did they get hurt? There's no load management. They just started the season, right? So, I mean, what else are we left to speculate here? And you wonder what's going on. All these guys going on the IL list. And those are key players, too, for the Astros.
Yeah, great point, Pritch. And, you know, we actually, now that I think about it, we saw this a little bit with the Nationals early. Remember, mm-hmm. they had a couple games postponed, and they had, I think, 10 guys on the and again, they call it the IL. It used to be the DL.
Right.
I'm so old, Pritch. I remember when it was the DL. Now it's the IL, you know. But, yeah, this is, you know, important because, again, these guys, you know, we know that the starting pitcher is the most important player on the field, like a quarterback in football, like a goalie in hockey. But when you have these cluster injuries, and, again, contact tracing, these guys are with each other every single day in the clubhouse. But the fact that you have Bregman, Altuve, Alvarez, big home run hitter, who they have a lot of, you know, a lot of shows showing a lot of promise here as maybe your next big home run hitter, all going to be out here. That's obviously a good sign if you like the Tigers and plus money in this one.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, the line has shifted too. So big move right there. And the line minus 185 out here in, as we speak, 8.5 to total still in that game, Josh.
Yeah, and as I'm looking at it now, some of these 8.5s are going down to 8.
Are
so
they? Okay.
Again, you kind of, yeah, you put 2 and 2 together, and if you know you're missing a lot of these good offensive players here, Bregman, Altuve, Alvarez, that's going to obviously you know, limit your offense if you're putting in replacement players who obviously aren't as good, you know, offensively. So 8.5 down to 8. Again, if you're shopping around, and this is the importance of having multiple outs, being able to look at different numbers and different books have different lines. If you still see an 8.5 out there, to me, the fact that you've seen all these guys be mm-hmm. pronounced with these COVID protocols out, 8.5 immediately going down to 8. If there's still an 8.5 hanging out there, I see a couple under 8.5 minus 120. That could be an under opportunity, maybe a lower scoring game with all these offensive batters out.
Okay, now we got hockey, Flames, and Canadiens. One more play out there, perhaps a lean or a pick. Josh, what do you have?
Yeah, one more for you, Pritch. I'm looking at the Montreal Canadiens tonight. So what I like about this one, this is a kind of a tough spot for the Flames. This is kind of a situational play with a lot of betting system matches on the Habs here. But the Flames just had a big win last night. They beat Toronto 3-2 as a plus 140 dog. And they've won 2 in a row playing well. But this is kind of a tough turnaround. It's a back-to-back in hockey. A lot of times back-to-back in hockey's in hockey, number one, you're going to have a different goalie most of the time. But number two, hockey's a taxing sport, you know, and again, if you have to turn around quickly, it's at a disadvantage on these back-to-backs. So probably a new goalie for Calgary. I don't know who they're starting right now. Probably not going to be Markstrom. It's probably going to be their backup here. But I think Montreal waiting for them at home, a little bit of rest in terms of Montreal. We've seen the Canadiens go minus 150 up to around minus 160. So that's another, you know, 10-cent move in hockey that's notable here. You also look at a system that I like a lot. Home favorites minus 150 or more. It's pretty simple, but you're on your home ice. You're you know, you're favored kind of somewhat heavily minus 150 or more. These teams are 129 and 56, 70% here. We just saw this win earlier today mm-hmm. with Minnesota. So kind of a similar type situation. I'd be looking at Montreal here, trying to take advantage of a tired Flames team on the second leg of a back-to-back.
All right. Distracted you long enough to see the Bo Sox beat Minnesota right there. I think 3-2. There you go. No sweat at all from you. No sweat at all from you. So let's get to it because you're known for a lot of things. And one of them, certainly, as we've done the show together, is some gross plays. I'm talking about sideways emojis kind of gross plays, right? So what do you have for us today, Josh, in terms of the grossest plays of the day?
Yeah, so unfortunately, no more college basketball. So I can't give you a Grand Canyon under, Pritch. I mean, those were the days when we were catching those unders. But my thunder was stolen a little bit. My gross play was the Detroit Tigers. Mm-hmm. And again, now it's kind of less gross, the fact that you have all these guys out here for Houston. The other one that I would look at.
Well, explain real quick why that was your gross play before what the news happened there, obviously.
Well, the gross play, and when I talk gross plays, what I'm talking about is you look at it on paper and it looks like it's going to lose and has no chance of winning.
Right.
And you got to kind of program yourself to say sometimes that's actually a good thing. Because, again, if you track sports betting and you're in the arena every day and yet it looks gross to you, imagine what it looks like to someone who isn't that familiar. Mm-hmm. They're going to say Astros all day. The Tigers are terrible. The reason why I like the Tigers, again, when they're more like plus 200, is just the fact that they won those first two games in the series against Houston. And anyone, you know, you walk up to on the street, you walk into a bar, they're going to say hammer Houston tonight because they lost the first two and they have to win tonight. But again, maybe they do. Maybe mm-hmm. even with all these guys out, Houston wins anyway. But that kind of thinking, that kind of mentality is very dangerous because you got to look at, line movement. You had an early move before this COVID stuff went down where Houston was like, I think they were like minus 230 down to like minus 200. Then it really fell off a cliff here with all these announcements with these guys out. But just kind of think differently. You know, again, if what you thought was supposed to happen actually ended up happening, you know, we'd all quit our day jobs and just bet on sports. You know, if favorites won every game, there wouldn't be these big towers in the desert. You know, again, the books would go bankrupt. That's the exact opposite of what the case is here. Mm-hmm. So I was looking at Detroit here, and I guess we got a little lucky if you bet them earlier. Now you're getting good closing line value. But Pritch, let me give another gross one at you.
Okay.
I'm gonna try to make
plays with an S. Yeah, we're plural here.
Yeah, we got plural. How much time we have? We got a minute.
We got plenty of time.
let me ask you, Houston Rockets at home against the Pacers. Now I watched the Rockets game the other night. Mm-hmm. Now here we go. Now when I hear that, that means I'm on the right track.
Right.
Seriously. But Houston 14-40. Obviously they're bad. They're going for a high draft pick here. Pacers 25-28. What I like about this one, I bet an over in the Rockets game the other day against Phoenix. They cashed the over pretty easily, but this was a team that I didn't see a team that was quitting or didn't want to play or didn't care. I saw a lot of young guys who really didn't give up and actually covered against Phoenix. They're a 12.5 point dog. They lost by 6. So again, hazmat play, disgusting. No one wants to wake up and bet the Rockets tonight, but the Rockets did open plus 5. They're down to 4.5. I'm seeing some shops get down to 4 now. So it looks like, you know, even though the Pacers are quote unquote the much better team here, the line is moving to the Rockets. And I guess the other thing you like, this would be a back-to-back for the Pacers. Mm-hmm. You know, they lost Clippers at home. Now they're on the road traveling to Houston, who's rested, who is ready and raring to go here. So I'm grabbing the points with the Rockets. And Pritch, I know we're up against it. What do you think of the over? If there's no Miles Turner, he's a guy who eats up a lot of space, and if he's out, I think that benefits an over. You do have this total on the rise, 232 to 234, and you do have overs, I think, 4 of the last 5 with both of these teams here. So maybe an over, maybe the Rockets.
Okay, you know what, Josh? I wouldn't be living if I didn't ride with you here with the Rockets. So
that's my guy.
Yeah, grossest play. pretty gross, though. Pretty gross, I would admit. But I might ride. I'm going to ride with you on that one. Taking the Rockets and the points right here, plus 4.5, that total 234. Great job, as always. We'll see you back here on the program next week. Obviously, we'll see you on VSIN on other programs for sure. My guys in the desert, coming up next right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.